A couple of weeks ago, I said something that might have made people wonder or maybe even be startled a little bit when I said that to some people that Jesus can be an idol. And I'd like to expound on that just a little bit for a minute. Not that anyone even came to me and questioned it. And I would imagine that most of you got the gist of, well, you guys are all on Canon camera. I forgot to flip this morning. If I can figure out how to do that. Bear with me a second. I've messed up again. Can you imagine such a thing? I never mess up anything. Right? Huh? Yeah. Where did it go? Oh, here we go. I'm just not with it this morning. Yes, I am. It's been a great morning. I'll tell you what it's been great. Was great about this morning was the fact that the time changed and I got an extra hour and didn't know it. And I woke up and thought, man, I feel awake this morning. And what a blessing that was. Anyway, a couple weeks ago I mentioned that. What I was talking about was this. We worship a Jesus, right? We worship a Jesus that is the true biblical Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the third person of the Trinity, which is one God. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. And we can, one of these days I want to do a study, we haven't done one in a while, on all the names of Jesus and who he is and how they relate to us. But however, there's another Jesus out there that's being worshipped. And you remember the bracelets everyone wore for a while that said, "What would Jesus do?" on them? You know, a lot of people wore those, but I don't think they had any idea who Jesus was. Because if not, they weren't paying attention to that bracelet very well. But anyway, I think that a lot of times people just, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, what does that mean, and who is Jesus? Is he the biblical Jesus? You know, some out there, there's some religions out there that talk all day long about Jesus and say they worship Jesus and that Jesus is the center of who they are. But if you go and you look, if you just Google who Jesus, or Google that them, and look what they believe about Jesus, it's not the same Jesus that we even worship. It's not the true Jesus. And you know, there was a time in the Bible when there were a lot of people out even claiming to be Jesus during biblical times. And we have to make sure that we are worshiping the one true Jesus. And he's not just someone we hold up there as an idol, kind of like in our mind, like I had a great fear back in the 70s when there was the great Jesus movement, that all the young people were flocking to the to that movement, that it wasn't just a movement they were flocking to, and that it was really Jesus they were coming to surrender their lives and to understand that he died for them on the cross, that he shed his blood for their sin, and that they needed to surrender their lives to him and who he truly is. That's who the Jesus is that we worship. Not someone that just is a great guy that does great things or something we can, you know, give us a feeling as to something we're doing. We have to be careful that we haven't made this entity that someone might call Jesus the same thing as an idol that you would bow down to. And that's the point I was trying to make and get to that. And I want to talk a little bit this morning. I'm in Ephesians chapter 2. We've been through this passage. I want to go through it again. Hey, by the way, my ADD's kicking in. Hey, by the way, we still have a lot of these youth Bibles if anybody wants to give any out. I just saw that laying there. It reminded me, please, please, please. This is great. They're free. Get them out there. You can have as many as you want as long as you're going to not leave them on the floorboard of your car, but they're going to go to somebody. But anyway, chapter 2 in Ephesians, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. What does it mean to be dead in trespasses and sins? It means that you're dead in doing wrong. It's dead in who you are. You're dead in your spirit. There's no spiritual life in you. Now, when I talk about spiritual life, I'm not talking about anything aside from what is spiritual through God and what God intended. there's all kind of spiritual stuff out there that we don't need to be anywhere near. But he's talking about we were dead in our trespasses and sins. In other words, we didn't have any spiritual life in us through God. It just wasn't there. We look for happiness. Isn't it interesting how when we don't have God in our life and we don't put our whole faith in Him, that we go every day and our day depends on how things go completely. Like when things are going well, we feel good. When things are going bad, we feel terribly bad. And we're on this emotional roller coaster that depends on our outside circumstances. But understand, once you become alive in the Lord, those outside circumstances are still there, and I'd be crazy not to think they don't have a bearing on you, because they do. But the truth is, how you are, how you feel, is not held captive by your outside circumstances, because you have hope in Jesus Christ. And that's who you live for daily. You know, we have this battle all the time in our mind. We have this battle of the mind with the old man. We have this battle of the mind with our mind constantly trying to do and make us think what our heart knows is different. One of the first books I bought, the first book I bought as an adult, I was in a Christian bookstore. I had gone to a Christine Wurtzen concert with Shirley at Cedarville College. And if anybody you can remember back then, you're as old as I am. Because this young, early 20-some-year-old young lady that was singing is now as old as I am. But anyway, by the way, she still has a website. But anyway, I was at this concert with Shirley, and I was in the Christian bookstore at the college because we'd gotten there early, and they had this book called The Fight. It was written by John White. And the book, The Fight, was about that fight that we're constantly warring with in ourselves between what we know God wants us to do, what we know is right, and the old man saying, nah, come this way. Or guess what? You're not worthy. How about that one? I'm not good enough. How could God really love me? You know, if I just don't feel like a Christian today. You know, one of the interesting things that we do is we many times feel separated from God. And we think that God is separated from us. Do you realize that God is not separated from you? We're the ones that put up the barriers. His access is there all the time. He wants to be near us and with us all the time. We're the ones that throw up the barriers. We can't put it on Him. But we throw up those barriers. We have to learn to be able to start saying to those barriers, no, you're not there. I don't want you there. I'm going to believe what God says. I'm going to follow what the Lord says, regardless of how I feel at the moment, regardless of that negative thought that just creeped into my mind. You know, Satan knows that if he can take your thoughts captive, he's got you. Don't let him do it. We have to learn to say no, right? Didn't Jesus himself say, get behind me, Satan, when he was trying to tempt him? Huh? We need to do that. And remember that if Satan can get a foothold, he's going to keep using that same grip that he likes, that he knows hits your buttons. Don't let him do it. Trust the Word of God. Have faith in what God has said. God, let me tell you something that is an absolute truth. God loves you. And you can't do anything about that. Now, how are you going to respond to that? Huh? Are we going to live in the doldrums and depression and happiness? Are we going to live in a situation where it depends on the next thing and how it goes as to how we feel? Are we going to be depressed because we didn't make as much this year as we thought we would? Or we went shopping for new furniture and we didn't realize it was that expensive and we had to go with something that wasn't quite as good as what we wanted? Huh? Is that the life we're going to live? Are we going to live away knowing that my God loves me? And regardless of anything out there, I've got that. I've got that. I've said many times, and I mean this, I don't want to, but I really could live in just a little cabin with nothing. As long as I've got God. As long as I know He loves me and He's there beside me. And I really would appreciate it if He'd leave me with a book to read. But it's true. With God, we can have nothing that the world offers and still be full. In the world, we can have everything the world offers and still be empty. Do we realize that? Let me go on. So we were once dead in trespasses and sin, in which you one walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We know who that is, don't we? Satan. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So at one time, we're walking and we're obeying Satan. You know what's really interesting about Satan? Something like that. You know, people, no one wants to back a loser, usually, right? If they know they're going to lose always and never going to win, you don't want to back them, right? No one wants to, I want to be on the losing team. We don't do that, right? Folks, Satan is the losing team. And here's what's really crazy about it. He knows he's the losing team. He already knows he's lost. He knows that he's going to be bound for 1,000 years. And then he's going to be eternally thrown into the lake of fire in the end. And he knows that. But people keep joining his team every day. You know why? Because he didn't tell them that part. See, his goal is to take as many people with him as he can. To deceive as many as he can. I see these people out there, and how deluded they must be, that have all this satanic stuff and wear satanic stuff and brag to people, look, I'm a follower of Satan. I'm thinking, you moron. You just bet on a losing horse, and you may even be riding it. What are you doing? You're going to lose. Satan already knows he's losing. And he wants you to come with him. But he's not going to tell you he's losing. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. You know that word flesh. I heard an interesting acronym for that yesterday. If you take the word flesh, take the H on the end, and that will be stand for him, capital H-I-M. And then you turn the word around, if I spell this right, and you take the rest of the words and turn them around, and you've got self. Self. You can live for him, or you can live for yourself. That's what flesh is. Yeah. You know, when we see the flesh, we always think of physical flesh, or they must be talking about something sexual or something of that. No, it's self. It's, I'm going to live for me, I'm going to do what the world says to do, or I'm going to live for him. Which is it going to be? One has an outcome that's amazing, and the other has an outcome that's destructive. But you know what? I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to live for self because so-and-so has money, and isn't it great? Look what he can do. Look at that neat truck he just bought. Right? Wood, hay, and stubble comes to mind. Those things that burn up in the end. It does come to mind. Why do we keep thinking we need to impress the world? If I want to impress anyone, it better be my God, because he's the one that has control of everything that happens with me right here. He's the one that has the ultimate say-so. Why are we following something that's going to lead us to a dead end? I know a man a couple of years, I know a lot of men like this, but I'll just share this story. And I won't even mention his name because I shouldn't, and also because it fits so many other examples, people you probably know. But I know this man that a few years ago, he passed away. And when he passed away, he was extremely wealthy. Extremely wealthy. He had some of his collections of stuff that I covet, have coveted. He had the best. And he died so alone. So alone. Without anyone there. Matter of fact, no one even liked him. No one liked him. But he had gained everything the world had to offer. At one point, he had a lot of friends. Do you know why? Because he had a lot of things. And his friends said, wow, look what he's got. And then there was a point when it was time for him to die. And you know what he did? He hadn't been to his church in many, 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 many years. But in planning for the funeral, he contacted that church. And he wanted to make sure the ladies were going to prepare a free meal for those people that were coming to the funeral. I don't think he gained any friends there either, did he? Because it was all about himself. But see, when you follow Satan, that's what happens. Because Satan's all about himself. He's not about you. He hates you. We're just deceived into thinking he doesn't hate you. Look, listen to this in verse 3. Among whom also we all once could... You conduct yourself that way because you don't have anything else to reach for. Without having Jesus Christ in your life, and without having that spiritual connection with him through the Holy Spirit, all you can do is hope for the best. Right? And want the best. Everyone says, oh, children are such angels. We're the ones that corrupt them. No, they're not. One of the first words little kids learn is mine. Mine. They don't normally share by nature, do they? That's who we were by nature. By nature, we want to take care of me. I want mine. And you can't have it. But God, listen to this. God, who is rich in mercy. He'd have to be rich in mercy with some of us, wouldn't he? Because of his great love, which he loved us. That's me and you and you and you and you. And go out there and them and them and them and them. And those in the past and those in the future. His great love in which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses. We were dead. In other words, we were worthless to him. We weren't of any value to him at that point because we were living for Satan. We were like roadkill. Nothing more attractive about roadkill, is there? Matter of fact, you couldn't imagine it alive again, could you? I'm just being silly. But we were not attractive. Our trespasses and sin were not attractive to God at all. But he still loved us, and he sent his son to die for us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. Amen. He brought us back to life through his son, Jesus Christ. And he says to you today, do you accept that? Do you want my son and the free gift that he has offered you? Or are you going to continue living for Satan? And most of the world says, I'll take Satan. He gives me the here and now. I'll worry about the hereafter later. That's just crazy to me. It truly is. And you know what's even crazy about it? Even crazier. I guess you have to learn this the more you go through life. It's a maturing process, I suppose. That we want what's here and now. But someday, if we surrender our life to the Lord, that we're going to understand that as we go on through life and we trust him each and every day, we get more of the here and now than we would have had we given it to Satan. Because we're going to get what we need. You see, when we have what we need and what God intends for us to have, it's something we hold of value. Because he made it right. He gave us what we needed. He gave us what he knew we would love and enjoy. And we would appreciate that. We hold on to it. It has value to it. But when we go out searching for what the world tells us we want, we get a whole bunch of things that were never even meant for us. And they end up being hollow and empty. I've seen people do that with relationships. Haven't you? I never understood how people could get married 10 times. I see these Hollywood people do that all the time. How do you get married 10 times? How do you love someone for the rest of their life? Oh, this is the one. And then 6 months later, oh, this is kind of old. Man, look at him over there. Look at her over there, right? See, that's how Satan operates. God says, I have this perfect person for you over here. And if you'll submit your life to me and they'll submit their life to you, you're going to have a wonderful relationship together. Isn't that great? Huh? Oh, God's restoration is wonderful. Because many of us have walked down roads we should never go down. And we've been beat up on the way. And we've gotten real dirty. But in the end, when we surrender to the Lord, he makes everything beautiful and clean again. And just makes our lives wonderful. Does he not? Those of you that have been there. Huh? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't God's redemption amazing? And isn't God's grace amazing? And isn't God's forgiveness for what we've done amazing? And none of us deserve it. You realize he forgives us for things every day that we would never forgive anyone else for. Huh? We would never forgive them for.
I'm sorry. I don't like that guy. I'm holding a grudge because he deserves it. God looks down on you and says, seriously?
Seriously? He loves us. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want to give you an example of something this morning. Can I tell you today that you can't be a little bit saved? Can I tell you today that you can't be a little bit surrendered to Jesus? Let me give you an example. I heard this one the other day too, and I just loved it. I said, that is perfect. If you're going to run and you're going to jump over a 12-foot creek. Now, this running probably would have took place when we were younger, when I was younger anyway, and definitely lighter. But you want to get a good run, and you want to launch and give it all you got, and you want to come down on the other side. But if you think in your mind, well, I don't have to do totally commit to that jump. I think what I'll do is I'll take it in two jumps. I'll jump halfway and then finish the other half. Hey, dummy, you can't do that. You're going to land in the water, right? You're going to land in the water. You can't do it in two jumps. It was kind of that way with giving your life to Christ. Jesus Christ is in the middle of a great chasm, right? Here's the world. Here's Satan. Here's sin. Here's God. Here's his beauty. Here's his love. Here's his grace. Here's eternity. Here's the plan for your life. And Jesus Christ is in the middle. And he says, Christian, I want you to let people know that you love, that they need to take that giant leap of faith and accept him and walk and live for him. It's not a, well, okay, I believe what you say, and I'm going to get half saved right now. I'll get the other half later. I'm going to follow Jesus, but I'm only going to follow him so far. And, you know, we'll see how things go. I got to tell you something this morning. You know, you give your life to Christ or you don't. It's simple as that. It doesn't do any good just to know the truth. You have to act on the truth. Right? What happens if I buy you a new car and I tell you about it and I hang the keys on your door? And then you don't go get the keys and take possession of it. You never had it. Jesus Christ died for us. He loves us. He offers us the most beautiful, amazing life eternally. We're going to have our struggles here on earth. We know that. You know how long eternity is? Because I don't. I can't explain it. My mortal pea brain will not allow my mind to grasp eternity. With people, everything's finite, not infinite. We can't imagine something not ending at some point. Everything we do has an ending point, right? Everything. Things die on earth. That's what they do. Everything eventually dies. Or everything eventually runs out. Not eternity. So I'm going to have an eternity with a God that loves me. And I don't understand heaven. It all seems kind of weird to me in a way. Because quite frankly, I like brown. And what I mean by that is I like dirt and sticks and trees and cabins and the wilderness. That sounds fun to me. And when I think of pearly gates and gold streets and shiny stuff, you know, okay, I'm not a shiny person. But that's okay. Because one thing I do know that God promised is not only things be unbelievably marvelously beautiful, but my heart is going to feel unbelievably marvelously beautiful. And it's going to be so amazing that I won't even believe it. So I take him at his word as to the fact that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he's preparing it just for me and just for you. So even though pearls and shiny and gold don't impress me at this point, he knows exactly what this heart needs. And it's going to impress me a lot. But whatever it's going to be, I know this too, that it's going to be for eternity. Forever. I better like it. But he promised me I will. But first he says, before you even can think about that, before you can take these keys, you got to say, yes, Lord. And you got to take all that sin that you carry on your back, all that guilt that you have, everything that you've ever done. First, you got to realize, and this is something the world doesn't like to talk about today. First, you got to realize you are a sinner. You do things wrong. Do you know that I hear people today talk about, and some of them are so popular in the world on talk shows, and you can plug in who I'm talking about. It's several of them. There's no such thing as sin. You do whatever makes you feel good. Just don't hurt anyone else in the process. No, that's not what my God says. There's sin out there. You better believe there is. There's things that God says absolutely not. But here's the neat thing. Even though he said absolutely not, he says, guess what? I love you enough that know that you're going to be so tempted by that you're never going to be able to live a perfect life. So I'm sending my son Jesus to die on the cross and take his shed blood, which is perfect, and to cover that sin with his shed blood. I heard someone say one time, a lady say one time, I don't understand you Christians. You're so bloody. Always about the blood of Jesus. Why you got to involve blood in it? Because life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. And Jesus covered all our sin with his life, which gave us new life. We just got to take it. And I want to tell you something this morning. When you give your life to Christ, start walking in it and living it. Don't be fooled into thinking that, well, okay, but I still got to try to work. I still got to be acceptable. Understand something. Your sin was never acceptable, and nothing you can do on your own ever will be acceptable to God. That's why he sent his son, because he's the only acceptable sacrifice for sin. And that's what he did. And now all he says is, I want you to accept me and my free gift of what I did. Every sin that you've committed, every bad thing that you've done is paid for. And everything you ever do will be paid for from this day forward. Praise God for that. But I'm going to put a desire in your heart for me. And that's why I've said to you guys many, many times, you can live in the world and be a Christian, but you better feel like a fish out of water. It better not feel like home. Do you understand what I mean? Because if Jesus Christ is in your heart, you're constantly going to have that, ugh, this isn't me. Because it's not you. You're that one that he has saved. You're the one in verse 6 that says he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And in the gates to come that he might show, the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and in his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift. Please don't sit there and think this morning, I'm not worthy of God. Because you aren't. But you are at the same time. Because he loves you. How many of you guys have had little kids that do bad things? And the little kid might think, Mommy's not going to love me because I did this. And you just think, oh, how foolish. I could never stop loving you. That's my Jesus. And he's not the one that creates the divide. We do. Let it go. Let that go. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I'm a Christian. Look how I live. I'm going to heaven. I live great. I give people things. I do this. I do that. I'm a good guy. Everyone likes me. And I'm getting to heaven. Wrong. That's not what's getting you to heaven. Nope. What's getting you to heaven is, Lord Jesus, I'm a filthy sinner that does not deserve you and does not deserve heaven. I can't do anything right on my own. I know I can do everything right in you. And I know that you shed your blood to cover that sin that I can't pay for. So please come into my life. Let me follow you. Let me trust you as my, we hear these two words together all the time, Lord and Savior. You ever think about that? Lord and Savior. Okay, Lord is first someone that you're going to bow down to, right? The Lord of your life. And Savior is the one that saved you. So he saved you, and you're going to bow down to him the rest of your life. Is he your Lord and Savior, or is he not? Not that we boast. Oh, look at all I do. I know people that die and they leave a church association or organization a huge sum of money. And this isn't always the reason, but their reason many times is, I'm stamping my ticket. No, you're not. Because that little old lady over there that doesn't have a dime to her name, that's broken and poor, just gave her life to Jesus Christ. And that's all he desired and all he wanted. And she's going to be in heaven. And she did nothing for it. Nothing. Remember, he saves us. We don't make ourselves worthy. That's why everyone can go. He died for everyone. He made everyone special. Well, that guy's not as smart as I am. That guy didn't know his Bible very well. God looks on the inside. Man looks on the outside. God looks on the heart. What's in your heart today? That's what's important. Not how smart you are. Not how well you dress. Not how much you give the church. Did I say that? Yeah, I did. Not how much you give the church. Not how often you're in. None of that. What's in here? You desire to follow Jesus Christ, or do you desire to be a self-made man or a woman? For we are his workmanship. Do you see that? We are his workmanship. We're not our own workmanship. He's the one. He's the potter. We're the clay. He's the one making this vessel and forming it. Not us. We don't get to decide what we're going to do. If we're following him, see, he decides. And we're living for him. It'll become so natural that you're going to think you decided. Yeah. Because you've got to lay it on your heart to make the right choices. You're going to follow his will and make those choices. All along, he's the potter and you're the clay. You know, being a pastor, I do a lot of funerals, right? And folks, I'm not thinking, if you're listening to this message out there, I am not talking about any of your relatives because I don't remember whose it was. But on many occasions, I've had people want played at their funeral, I did it my way, by old Blue Eyes. I did it my way. I'd be scared to death. I hope it was done his way. Am I right? I did it my way? No. The end thereof is destruction, folks. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. What? Wait a minute, Pastor. You just said that good works wouldn't get me into heaven. No, they won't. But you're created through him to produce good works. So if you accept him as Lord and Savior, you give your life to him and say, Lord, I want to walk with you and live with you daily. Those good works will be a result of it because he created you for that. See, the good works are wonderful, but only through him, not of your own. That's why he says every good works of our own is either our, one place it says our righteousness is as filthy rags. Let me tell you something, in the Bible times, when they said filthy, they meant filthy because there wasn't too much clean out there. Not a sour washcloth we're talking about. We're talking about filth. And all of our good works, he says, are as wood, hay, and stubble, will be burnt up at the end of life and be worth nothing. But he created you through him for good works. And when it's done through him, you have true good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you know all those good works that have been prepared for you to do? God created and planned for you to do before the foundation of this world. Folks, that's a powerful God.
Amen.
And we better sit up and take notice. I am not so bold to think I can do it my way. Folks, we need to do it his way. And it begins with one thing and only one thing. Lord, I surrender my life to you today. I know you have the most wonderful life planned for me. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy everything that you give me and send my way. But Lord, please keep my eyes on you and help me to keep my eyes on you. And break down those barriers that separate us. Folks, don't let barriers in your life separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. He's going to love you no matter what, but you're not going to feel, know, and walk in that love if you don't get rid of some of those barriers that you've put there and not him. Let him go and love Jesus. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for all you've given us, for your love, for your blessings. Oh, Lord, we love you and just thank you for who you are and what you do. Lord, we have such a wonderful message, and I ask that we take it to the world. We take it everywhere we know. Let people know us. Because there's a difference in that person. What comes out of them is honest and true and reality, and they don't have an ulterior motive. But everything seems to come from a pure heart, and that pure heart is through you. Lord, we give this day to you. Lord, I ask that if someone doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today is the day they say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for my sin on the cross. And for raising again on the third day, that, Lord, I want to spend eternity with you, and please take my life. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Stephen, and who can I get? William, come here, buddy. Tell you what, Stephen, I'm welcome to two little boys to the house. Be my guest. Come here, buddy. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all you've given us. We thank you for our tithes and offerings. And Lord, I ask that they be used to serve you. And Lord, that we be good stewards of what you give us. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
If you'll stand with me,